Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So tonight we will be discussing from the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text number 10. Teisham satala yuktaranam bhajatam vritti purvakam Dhatami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So what we're trying to do, we're trying to come to pure devotional service. We're trying to come to the platform of devotional, pure devotional service. So why? Why are we doing that? Is this some artificial thing? That we've been captured by some cult leader? Is it turning into some blind followers of a cult? No. Krishna consciousness is the reawakening of the original natural energy of a living being. Just like a match has fire within it. All you have to do to get that fire is strike it. And the fire comes out. So right now we're in a position where we're covered with so many defects. We are called conditioned souls. That's what we're known as now, conditioned souls. We are conditioned by the modes of material nature. And because of that conditioning, we are subject to four various kinds of defects. The first one is, our senses are imperfect. You see something, but it's not what it appears to be. It's like you can see a mirage in the desert and it looks like water. But it's not water at all, it's simply a mirage. You may hear a sound, an explosion, and think a car has backfired. And actually someone shot a gun and killed somebody down the street. So the senses are imperfect. And because they are imperfect, what is the result? We have a tendency to be illusioned. To not see things as they are. And if you're illusioned, then what happens? You make all kinds of mistakes. And what do we usually do when we make a mistake? And someone corrects us, we argue with them because we are proud. I am great. I cannot make any mistakes. How dare you criticize me? This is called cheating. At least we should be honest enough when someone corrects us for making a mistake that we just take it humbly. At least we should have that much honesty. No, yes, I did something wrong, and just take the correction that's given to us. But because we have a cheating mentality, we don't want to admit that we make mistakes. We don't want to admit that we have a tendency to be illusion. We do not want to admit that our senses are imperfect. And what is the result of this? misery. So it's not worth it. It's not just not worth it to take this sort of attitude in our life. Brow and puffed up attitude. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. We take a humble attitude. Understand that I'm lower than the star in the street. Try to be more tolerant than a tree. Try to always offer all respect to everyone else without expecting any respect for ourselves. And what can we do in that state of mind, according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? In that state of mind, we can constantly chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And that is perfection. Today I was asked a very nice question. Well, how does one stay fixed in Krishna consciousness? You asked me that question. How do you keep it? The answer is practice. There's a saying in English, practice makes perfect. But there's one condition: if your practice is proper, then you become perfect. If you practice the wrong, it's like you're practicing to play the guitar, but you're doing it all wrong. So you have to, proper practice makes perfect. Improper practice makes imperfect. Proper practice makes perfect. So we want to train you how to practice properly. That's what we want to do. That is a duty given by Srila Prabhupada to his disciples, to train the world how to properly practice Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada made it easy for us by giving it all, putting it all in writing in the books. Made it very easy, actually. He worked very hard so it'd be easy for us. All we have to do is read the books as much as possible. Read Srila Prabhupada's books. And chant as much as we can, 24 hours a day. Actually, devotees should feel that 24 hours a day is not enough. I want to read more and chant more, but I just don't have enough time. A devotee should be greedy. How can I squeeze in more time for Krishna consciousness? Not thinking, when can I get my chanting over with so I can turn on a television set? No. Better to throw the television in the garbage can. Increase your chanting. Unless you're disciplined, you're only watching Krishna conscious DVDs. If you're disciplined, then you can never tell them. But if you're carried away by the television set to watch this material show and that material show, and then your children are also being carried away, it's better just to get rid of the damn thing and have kirtan. Why? Because the more we can chant Hare Krishna and read and discuss Prabhupada's books, that is our intention. Krishna conscious TV shows even are also good. If all you do is watch Krishna conscious TV shows, and you don't do, if you watch other people chanting, that's nice. But you must also chant. Not that you just watch other people chant. Krishna consciousness is not a spectator sport. You are meant to get out there in the playing field. many people are fond of playing sports. Even devotees are fond of playing sports. But I always promote, there's one sport which is the ultimate sport. If you like sports, and here's the ultimate sport. In ball games, what do? They try to, there's always a ball, and whoever controls the ball the best wins. Whoever can exert more influence over that ball, whether it's soccer, baseball, football, basketball, golf, whoever has the best control over that ball wins a game. So if you like sports, then here I have a sport for you. Is this earth planet a ball? Yes. At least according to modern day scientists, it is a ball. The globe. So right now, who's controlling the ball? The demons, isn't it? The asuras. So we are. Here's a huge, you know, world population, asuric, demoniac population, controlling the ball of the earth. Here's a tiny little handful of Vaishnavas trying to get control of the ball by preaching, by studying the books, by chanting, by preaching, through cultural influence. Just like recently I went to Turkey in April, and we had a whole hall full of Muslim people chanting Hare Krishna in ecstasy. Actually, we have it on a DVD. It's so nice. Vishnu Priya Mataji was filming it while I was doing it. She was walking around filming on all the people's faces. You could see all these Muslim people. The first time in their life I've ever heard Hare Krishna. And now they're singing it. And they were totally new to it in their faces, because they were in ecstasy. Muslim men and women in ecstasy chanting Hare Krishna. And at the end, we had some Turkish Bhagavad Gitas. And we said, they're for sale. Anybody who buys one. This is Mataji's idea, that Sankarshan Prabhu will autograph. They rushed the book table, sold every Bhagavad Gita we had in 5 minutes. They swamped the book table. They were greedy Bhagavad Gita. Why? They are not Hindus. Why were they so attractive? Do you know why? Does anyone know why those Muslims were so attractive and holding something like that? Does anyone know why they were so attractive? I have the answer. Jivara Sarupa Krishna Dichandas. The constitutional position of the living being is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. Every living being on this planet is actually a devotee of Krishna. Whether they appear to be a Christian, Jew, an atheist, a Hindu, a Muslim, or whatever. A dog, a cat, a butterfly, a tree, an alligator, an elephant, a snake. Every single living being throughout the universe is actually a devotee of Krishna. So we should become so pure in our practice of Krishna consciousness that just by someone looking at us, their hearts are transformed. You know what happened with Chaitanya's pastime? You know that? Lord Chaitanya, he was traveling in South India on foot. He had walked down the road. And the villagers through the area that he passed would look at Lord Chaitanya. And they would be stunned. to see his transcendental beauty. Prema was just coming out of him like, he was shooting rays of prema from his body in all directions. So everybody who was hit with those rays of prema, Krishna prema, they became pure devotees immediately just by seeing him, just by being in his presence. And they gave up everything and started walking down the road with him. He had this huge just entourage of pure devotees walking down the road with him. Who became a pure devotee, you know, just by seeing him a few minutes earlier. And every time he would come to a junction in the road, he would say, okay, now you all go down that road. And you all go down that road. And you know what? That same shakti, that same bhakti shakti that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had manifested to immediately convert the villagers into pure devotees was invested in the villagers also. When those villagers were walking down a separate road, they were no longer with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just on their own, they were walking down the road. And anyone, this is describing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Prabhupada has given us. Anyone who saw those villagers were also emanating waves of prema in all directions. And anyone who was inundated by those waves of prema also got instant Krishna prema. And then the villagers would tell the new villagers, and they came to a junction, and you walk down that, you walk down that. And this way, expanding, expanding. And Prabhupada said, in this way, just by walking down the road, Lord Chaitanya made all of South India Krishna conscious. The point is that we must cultivate pure Krishna bhakti. So much so that just by seeing us, somebody will become Krishna conscious. Just by looking at us once, they become immediately pure. That's how pure we should become. Because then we can very quickly revolutionize the whole planet. We should go to die. Here, I think you have some laws. Muslims cannot become devotees, right? It's illegal. But if all you devotees here become powerful, like that, those devotees in Chaitanya Leela, you just walk into the government buildings. That's all you have to do, is walk into the government building. The Prime Minister will become a pure devotee, and all the cabinet members, and the Parliament members, all become pure devotees. You can capture the country. You can have a complete coup within 1 hour, just by your effulgence. So we have to become pure, is the point. To the extent that we are pure, to that extent, we will be happy and we can make others happy. So how do we cultivate purity? How do we cultivate pure devotional service? These are the most important things. Everything that we're doing is for the purpose of pure devotional service, isn't it? Is there any other purpose? To become purely Krishna conscious and to help others become purely Krishna conscious. Is there any other purpose for anything doing it? If there is, you better get rid of it because it's material. If you have any other agenda going on in your mind about this, your Krishna conscious activities, you better get it out of your mind right now because it's maya. Our only agenda is that we become pure devotees ourselves and we try to help others become pure devotees. That's why we're doing everything. Whether we're distributing books, whether we're doing deity worship, whether we're distributing prasadam, whether we're raising a family, whatever we're doing, we should be doing it for that purpose and for that purpose only. You shouldn't try to enjoy separately from this cultivation of pure devotional service. Don't have any separate enjoyment going on the side, it's material. Make your only enjoy the joy of becoming purely Krishna conscious, spreading it for the benefit of the suffering world. If you do that, I guarantee you, you will become anxiety proof. The most devastating, horrible thing can happen to you, and you will simply see, oh, Krishna is so kind, he made this arrangement. You know when Prabhupada was a householder, he was sitting in Calcutta. You know this story? He was sitting in Calcutta, and the Japanese were attacking. They were dropping bombs in Calcutta. Those Japanese. They also harassed. They invaded from Malaysia, and they were chopping off people's heads. Pretty brutal. But anyway, they were dropping bombs on Calcutta. So Srila Prabhupada was taking his lunch. And Prabhupada, when he takes prasadam, it's not just eating, you know. No, it's a worship, it's a meditation. He's honoring Krishna prasadam. Do you think he only started doing that when he actually started his cup? No, through his whole life, he always took prasadam, honoring it with awe and reverence. So Prabhupada was not about to get up and run to the bomb shelter like everybody else was doing. It's because the Japanese were dropping bombs on Calcutta. He simply sat there peacefully and honored prasadam. And he described this to us. He said the bombs were falling. Wasn't that like that? It was this sound. The bombs are falling. And he said, I was simply thinking, oh, here comes Krishna. He was saying the bombs from the Japanese, the bombs are Krishna. Krishna is coming. If we come to the state of pure devotional service, then we can be always happy and peaceful no matter what's happening. That doesn't mean we become callous to the suffering and the conditioned souls, however. The Vaishnava is always very disturbed to see that the world population is in illusion. The Vaishnava cannot tolerate to see that. He is always thinking, how can I save these people from illusion? Lord Chaitanya is very pleased with that. Such a devotee who always thinks like that. Why? Prabhupada explains this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya is in transcendental anxiety. He is in anxiety to see the living beings caught up in sense gratification. So when a devotee and the follower of Lord Chaitanya takes up that same mood, then he is sharing some of the burden of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This lessens the anxiety burden of Lord Ramana. So such a person is very, very dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is why if you can take up the mood of preaching, of wanting to save the people from birth and death, you become very blessed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You become very happy, very, very happy person. But you're only thinking about your own anxieties. Then you will always be in anxiety. But he's just saying, my anxieties are so small compared to the anxieties of everyone else. Let me lay my anxieties aside and just focus on relieving everybody else's anxieties. See, then your anxieties will just get smaller and smaller and smaller until they just be gone. The more you can think about helping other people out of anxiety, the less you would feel anxiety personally. See? So this is a very easy way to become pure for Krishna consciousness. Take up this mode of preaching. Take up the spirit of a Goshti and Bhakti. There are two types of devotee, Goshti, Bhakti, and Bhajan. Bhajan Nandi, he just wants to do his, he just wants to embellish the bliss of practicing Krishna consciousness and to hell with everybody else. They can go to hell, I'm going to go back to Godhead, they can do whatever the hell they want because I'm going to be happy chanting Hare Krishna. The other kind is a Goshtiya Bhakti. He gets his pleasure from preaching. Trying to make a spiritual revolution. Trying to bring the world out of Maya into the merciful shelter of Lord Krishna, so to speak. The Goshtiya Bhakti, he tastes the much sweeter nectar because he becomes very terrible. And the Srila Prabhupada. This particular verse is very nice. Those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Then we have this problem of being confused. We don't know what to do. Anybody not have that problem? Does everybody have that problem of being confused sometimes and not knowing what to do? Yes or no? Yeah. So here's the easy way to never be confused again. If you're constantly devoted to Krishna, Krishna will give you the understanding about everything in such a way that you're always situated on that golden highway back to home, back to God. Just have to always be in this mood of devotion. Fixed in this mood of devotion. And then the Lord from within will give us all help. So it's like now you're going to a distant place, 8 hours away. See, with no devotee association. But actually, you're not going alone. The Lord is in your heart, Lord Krishna is in your heart. And if you simply cultivate, you constantly try to cultivate, I must conquer my lust, my anger, my greed. I must become a pure devotee, godly surrender to the Lord. You're always thinking that way. Krishna, please help me become your pure devotee. Actually, you don't even depose your own prayers, you just chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna is a calling of the Lord to engage you in pure emotional service. You just chant Hare Krishna. Or you can compose your own prayers from your heart also, either way or both. You're always calling out to the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Krishna will see this person really wants to achieve. Shri Shri Gaurantai Kijaya Jagannath Balabhaya Subhadra Kijaya. The noble Krishna too, he will guide you at every step. You do like this, you do like that. And you will be confused. You'll know how to always be fixed in devotional service, 24 hours a day. You just have to keep begging Krishna. You have to become a professional beggar. Constantly begging the Lord to bless you with pure devotion. And he will help you. You're his lost son, and now you want to come back to him. He will bless you unlimitedly. So to keep calling out to him, please help me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we can ask if there's any questions. Along with the instructions of Krishna. Question? Yeah. Yes. What was the question?
What's the definition of pure devotee?
What is the definition of pure devotee?
The qualification?
The definition.
Definition.
Definition. Yes. Prabhupada one time said, nothing to purchase except for Krishna. Devotee means you have no interest except Krishna. Exclusively. Lord Chaitanya, if you study the Shastakam of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is my worshipful Lord unconditionally. A person who has that attitude is a pure devotee. Who actually genuinely has that attitude in all times, all places, in all circumstances. They're a pure devotee. They have no business mentality. That Krishna, I will do this for you if you do this for me. No. They simply want to give everything to Krishna for the pleasure of giving it to him. They have nothing to ask in return from the Lord except for the opportunity to continue giving him everything for all eternity. That's the only thing they ask for. Is the only benediction they want, so they can always remain giving everything to Krishna. That's all they ask. Nothing else. That is pure devotion. So, what do you think? Are you a pure devotee? What is it?
You only got interest in Krishna, nothing else.
He says what?
He only got interest in Krishna, nothing else.
He has no other interest, that's right.
In his mind, a pure devotee, in his mind, he's only got Krishna in his mind, nothing else.
And he has no other thought except for the name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, nam, and teachings of Lord Krishna. He has no other interest except in Krishna. He doesn't want to hear about anything unless it's related to Krishna. He doesn't want to talk about anything unless it's related to Krishna. He doesn't want to go anywhere unless it's related to Krishna. He doesn't want to associate with anyone unless Krishna can be the center of that association. He has no desire for anything unless it's Krishna conscious.
How
them. So you can convey them to me. The mind, half death. So you can convey to anybody. He said, why don't you come? Come right here.
Okay.
And then I can really hear.
When we talk interest of a third person, other than interest of Krishna and the devotee, we are talking Krishna and devotee, two person. How when you say interest of a third person, fourth person, fifth person, how do you say that? When that comes to mind. We don't talk about the devotee and Krishna, the two people. We're talking about third person, fourth person, fifth person.
Yes, if you love Krishna, then you must... You cannot love Krishna unless you love Krishna's devotees also. Krishna does not mean Krishna alone. Krishna is surrounded by his devotees, so you have to love his devotees also. Krishna says, if you're my devotee, you're not actually my devotee, but if you're the devotee of my devotee, then you're my devotee. So a pure devotee has pure love for all of Krishna's devotees and all living beings. Because actually everyone is a devotee of Krishna, they just forgot it. He purely loves all living beings. He wants to serve everyone and everything. Because he sees this is all Krishna's energy. He wants to help everyone become reconnected with Krishna. That's a pure devotee. So now you should try to become a pure devotee and relish the nectar of Krishna consciousness eternally. Of course, one time Prabhupada said, he said, Srila Prabhupada, how many pure devotees are there on the planet Earth right now? Prabhupada said, how many devotees are there in ISKCON? Prabhupada gave the credit that all the ISKCON devotees are pure because they're not getting paid to do this. They're doing it out of love. But we know in our own hearts that we're not completely pure. Even though we're not getting paid, we're doing this out of some feeling of attraction and love for Krishna. So there's different degrees of purity also. That you can be 1% pure, 2% pure, 3% pure. So in one sense, every member of ISKCON who's doing unless somebody's a paid employee, you know, that's another thing. But anybody who's coming here doing volunteer service, they're all pure to some extent. Everyone's pure. 1%, 2%, 30%. But in the highest sense, the pure devotee means one who is 100% pure, who has no tinge of impurity. That's the standard of pure worship. Questions? Any other questions? The ladies have any questions? Or they think they know everything? Same thing with them. Only one person is asking questions. Everybody else thinks they know everything. Nothing more to learn. Already realized everything. You're already pure devotee. Even if you have realized it, you should ask questions for the sake of the others. They say that Uttamadhi Kari comes down to act as a mantra for the benefit of preaching. Or is it that you're dull-headed? Yes.
Guruji, how does one develop a taste for chanting Hare Krishna?
This is a very nice question, Eva. Very, very important. Thank you very much. How do you develop a taste for chanting? To know the answer to this question will make you or break you. So if you know how to develop a taste for chanting Hare Krishna, then you will advance very nicely on the pathway back down the way to God. But if you don't know how to develop a taste for chanting Hare Krishna, you're in trouble. You'll have a very difficult time advancing in Krishna consciousness. So how does one then develop a taste for the holy name? The holy name is tasty in itself. Just like sugar candy is very delicious. But if you're suffering from jaundice, It tastes very bitter. You want to spit it out. It tastes so bad. So how do you develop the, how does the sugar candy become tasty? You take it, even when you take it as medicine, when it is bitter, on the order of your doctor, you take your daily dose of sugar candy. Even though it's intolerably bitter, you take it every day, exactly according to your doctor's order. And gradually the natural sweetness is again experienced. So the holy day is more sweet than millions of pounds of sugar candy. And because we are suffering from the jaundice of sense gratification, sometimes and many times it tastes bitter to us. But our doctor, Srila Prabhupada, his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, has given us a prescription. The doctor has given the description. Every day you must chant at least 16 rounds on your beats. So if you would chant 16 rounds every day faithfully on your japa beats, and gradually the sweetness will come back. And if you will consciously avoid the 10 offenses against the holy name, then you will advance very quickly. Be respectful to all the devotees. Don't think that Krishna is one of the demigods. Always have faith in the scriptures. This way, you strictly avoid the 10 offenses and chant every day without fail. And one other thing, if you serve the Vaishnavas, that's given in the Bhagavatam, first canto. If you will serve the Vaishnavas, then that will give you immediately taste. Shushushroshananusha Vasudeva Katarushi Sambhad Sevaya Vidra Punya Tirtana Sevana. By serving those devotees, you are completely free from all vice. Great service is done. By such service, one gains an affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. So that Vasudeva Katha Vrishi comes quickly and easily to those who serve pure devotees. So try to find devotees who are very pure and sincere in their service. Try to serve them with love as much as possible. Because that service will enable you to quickly get a taste. Questions, Lord? This process works. It is not hype. This process will elevate you beyond the material world into the transcendental kingdom of Lord Shri Krishna. You will actually see God face to face if you seriously follow this pathway. This is not a religious sect. This is the essence of reality itself. They may think, oh, they're doing Hinduism over there. We're doing Arya Islam over here, and they're doing Hinduism over there. This goes totally beyond it. You think there's different types of souls. There's Islamic souls and Hindu souls. No way. These are man-made conceptions. The soul has nothing to do with Hindu, Muslim, Christian. The soul in its pure form is simply a lover of God. That's all. And God has millions of them. Krishna, Rama, Allah, Christ, Jehovah. Millions of them. They're all one of them. Any name from the scripture is one of them. But this name Krishna is especially powerful because it includes all the other names within it. That's why Nityananda and Krishna get so much great results from it. Because this is the most powerful name for God. We never say it's the only name. You can chant Allah, Christ, or Jehovah. No. We are not sectarian. We understand the universal nature of religion. Well, the problem is that other people do not understand that. They say if you, you know, they don't understand it. Because they don't have the advantage. That's why we have to listen to Prabhupada's books. Because the more the people in the world read these books of Srila Prabhupada, they will understand. The world will be changed. It's make a revolution. The more we listen to these books. Any other question?
I have difficulties, in fact, difficulties to fix my mind during this period of chanting.
Yeah. When do you chant?
Early in the morning, 6 to 7.
Do you put on your devotional clothes when you chant? Do you put on tilak when you chant?
Yes.
You wouldn't hurt to try putting on your devotional, your devotee in the morning during because everything, the more you can do, the more it helps. If your tilak is, you can try doing that. That will definitely be helpful. If you dress in devotional clothes, because it helps to mold your consciousness. The way you dress actually helps to mold your consciousness. You can also, do you beg Krishna, please bless me that today I can become totally absorbed in chanting your names? Do you beg him that way before you chant? You can ask Krishna, my dear Lord, please bless me that today I can become fully absorbed in hearing and chanting your name. My mind will not wander anywhere. It just takes 10 or 15 seconds to say that. So if you'll beg Krishna like that, that will definitely help. Ask Krishna to bless you. It is stated in Prabhupada's purports. Actually, it is from Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. Whenever you worship the Lord, you should always ask for something in return. We have this idea where you're not supposed to ask anything from God. That's true. Nothing material should we ask. But we should always be asking for spiritual benedictions from Krishna. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur points this out. Should always be asking for spiritual benedictions to help our practice. So now you're going to worship Krishna. You're going to do, you know, 16 rounds. That's a substantial act of worship. So you have a right to ask for a benediction. So just ask for the benediction. Please, my dear Lord, give me the benediction that today while I'm chanting, my mind will become completely fixed in your name. God likes to grant benedictions which are emotional benedictions. Krishna likes to grant those benedictions. He actually grants so many benedictions. But those benedictions he really likes. He favors people who ask for those kind of benedictions. He's equal to everyone. He's especially equal to his devotees. Questions more? Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. It is said that to chant the holy name, there's no hard and fast rules.
Yeah.
But at the same time, here we are having the 10 questions against the holy name.
Yes. So the question is, if there's no hard and fast rule, then why do we have all these rules about chant? 10 offenses. Is this a contradiction in our philosophy? No, it's not a contradiction. No hard and fast rule means, just like Sarvabhaumacharya, he became a devotee. See, normally, you know, like in the Hindu culture, Samarta Brahman culture, there's so many rules. You can't take Vishadam unless you've taken your morning bath. the Lord Chaitanya came, like it was the Mahabhishana of Jagannath, huh? And he offered his Sarvabhauma, he took him before his bath. So Hare Krishna is completely pure. There's no rules. So even if you haven't taken a bath, you can chant Hare Krishna. Not that you have to purify yourself by a bath, and then you can chant Hare Krishna. You can chant Hare Krishna at any time, in any place, in any situation. There's no restriction. The 10 offenses are there to help you make that chanting perfect. That is done at any time, any place, in any situation. Does that answer your question? That's another question. Yeah.
I'm finding it difficult to basically we hear that we have to develop relationship with Vaishnavas, but at the same time I'm finding it difficult basically socializing and compromising with my sadhana.
Let me make sure I'm following you. We're meant to develop loving relationship with Vaishnavas, and then you're finding that it's difficult. Come back, come, stay up here until I've got the full question.
No, actually, I'm finding difficult to strike the balance because.
What balance is between what is the other thing you've told me?
No, what I'm telling
you. Love and relation to Vaishnavas. What do you want to balance that with?
No, basically, how to actually balance with my sadhana. Because I end up socializing.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. Loving, you can, just like some, I've heard about one devotee, he's so much wants to have loving relationships with all devotees that any devotee has to do anything, he'll do it. But he doesn't chant japa. That's an example. He neglects his own personal sangha to serve the devotees. That's going too far, obviously. There's two, you walk with 2 feet. One is your personal sangha, and the other is your service to the Vaishnavas. You have to, both of them have to be properly situated. Did you want to give an answer? All right, so. We have to, whatever vow we've made to our spiritual master, that we must keep. 16 vows following the principles. We have to keep that vow. Now, this word you mentioned, one word, socializing. The material word socializing is like the croaking of tones, inviting death to come. You know, in India, the snake in the dark night, by hearing the croaking of the tone, you know, there is Toad in the complete dark. He just captures it. Toad and eats him. So socializing and serving the Vaishnavas can mean two different things also. If the activities you're doing with the Vaishnavas are purely spiritual, according to the scriptures, that will enhance your sadhana like anything. But if you're engaging in mundane topics with the Vaishnavas, then everybody is going down in their purity. So we have to make our, the way we associate, very Krishna conscious. Because otherwise, you know, we start finding fault with each other and we split up after a while. We don't want to stay together. So we have to be very pure and very humble. And always engaged in Krishna Katha. Not that we just go off on these long tangents, materialistic conversations, socializing. We're interested in socializing. Serving the Vaishnavas and socializing are two different things. We're interested in serious sadhana. And Vaishnava seva is part of that. We don't want to socialize. It's not that we're antisocial. We want our association to be purely beneficial. The nature, we want that type, we want the type of association which is truly beneficial for our sadhana. I'll give you an example. Prabhupada. So then someone would ask Prabhupada a question. It was more like socializing. Well, Prabhupada, you just came from such and such place. How was it? You know what Prabhupada's answer was? Silence. Silence. Didn't even answer it. Prabhupada was not into socializing. So, we're interested in serious Krishna Katha, not in socializing. I would like to see, you know, it's like sometimes I see there's an attitude. Sometimes I'll hear that somebody gets it from someone says, you know, just calling up to say hello. A devotee will say, well, I just wanted to say hello. Just wanted to say hi. That's socializing. They should say, Prabhu, I just wanted to offer you my humble obeisances. You see, that's sadhana. You understand? I just say, just drop by to say hi. I hear devotees talking that way sometimes. Oh, I just drop by to say hi. Well, that's another one. I noticed, sometimes I noticed I go to a big festival and all the devotees just go, Haribol, 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 that's alright. But what is this movement called? The Hare Krishna. Is this the Hare? I wonder, is this. Prabhupada, listen to the Prabhupada tapes. How many times did Prabhupada say to somebody, Haribol? Never. I've never heard Prabhupada ever say to somebody, Haribol? Never on the tapes. He would always say, Hare Krishna. So why in our movement do we not say Hare Krishna to each other? We just say, Hare Ram. It's moving towards the mood of socializing. That's my opinion. I'm not going to try to make a GBC resolution or something. Because Hare Ram is nice. But when I went to one festival and every devotee just said Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Hare Bol. I wondered, is anybody going to say Hare Krishna here? But nobody was saying it. Everybody was saying Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Hare Bol. One after another. But Papa never said Hare Bol. Somebody. I'm just saying we should try to understand the mood of Papa. You can hear the tapes yourself. The MP3s are there. You can hear Papa's conversations. Prabhupada is Hare Krishna. That was Prabhupada's. So that's an example. It's not wrong to say Hare Bol, but if it's only Hare Bol and there's no Hare Krishna, we're moving away from Prabhupada's mood. We're moving in the direction of socializing. And then why Hare Bol? Just say hi. You know, hi. Hi. So, socializing. We want to get it back to pure Krishna Katha. For Prabhu, please accept my humble obeisances. Let's talk about Krishna. What have you realized about Krishna? What's your latest realization you have about Krishna? That type of association is extremely valuable. Maharaj, you had something. You had your hand up. You changed your mind or you forgot? Tell me. You just didn't, you changed your mind about wanting to say? Huh? I answered it already, okay. Was it the Hari Ball? Oh, Pam Ho. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's okay. If you want emails, you get Pam Ho and a Gips. You know what I mean? And emails. You know what a Gips means? All glory to Srila Prabhupada. A Gips. A-G. You know, instead of please accept my humble obeisances, Pam Ho, a Gips. In the emails. Because no, who wants to type out, please accept my humble obeisances, period, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. But actually it's very easy. You just have a little signature file and you can put the whole thing out. That's what I have in my emails. I have dear, there's a blank and it says, please accept my humble obeisances, period, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, your servant, Sankarshan Dasani Kuri. And that pops in automatically and I just fill in everything else. So that, I mean, it's easier than typing in Pam Ho and the Gips. But it's so much more culturally rich experience to receive an email that says, please accept. Of course, to my students, I say, please accept my blessing. And to my God brothers, please accept my basis, humble basis. So, but it's so nice, you know, the rich Vaishnava culture. Let's not water it down. Let's keep it rich and full of ras. Let's see, like in Chaitanya Leela. Let's create that room. This kind of, yeah. Tell me. Oh yeah. If somebody was saying, they were saying, "Dear Sankarshan P." I mean, P is an abbreviation for urine. Come on. I was getting letters from one devotee, Dear Sankarshan P. I didn't know I'd become degraded in the status of urine. Of course, I should always think that I'd be lower than urine, that's a fact. But that we should address each other as Prabhu. Or also, the ladies, we can call her Manaji. That is also the Manaji is simply another type of Prabhu. That's all. Everyone is our master. Manaji is a Prabhu. Prabhu doesn't mean a male person. Prabhupada said Prabhu means higher than me. So I think, well, the Prabhus are on this side, the Manaji is on that. No, everyone in this room is a Prabhu, a master, a spiritual master. Everyone is a Prabhu. Prabhu means higher than me. I should see that this person is higher than me. I am their servant. That's the meaning of Prabhu. It's not a gender word. Of course, technically, it's Prabhu is a masculine word. Pravi is feminine. But in the plural form, I don't know. I'm not a Sanskritist. But anyway, this mood of seeing every devotee as being my Prabhu, even little children. So we should see everyone as my master. Prabhupada said this. He said, the spiritual master sees that Krishna has sent him so many spiritual masters. He sees every one of his disciples as being his guru, because he has to serve that person by taking him back to Godhead. That is the mood of the spiritual master. Krishna has sent me all these masters. I have to serve them. So Viva Srila Prabhupada felt that we were all his masters. What we should feel about each other. See? How much we should feel to serve these Vaishnavas. So I think as long as you're in the proper mood, of proper respect, I don't think that Vaishnava Sangha will interfere with your sadhana. It will simply enhance it. What you need to do personally, you must do your vows, and if you're a householder, you can't be in debt. You have to make enough money, cover your expenses. And actually, according to the words of Prabhupada, you should make enough money that you can put 50% of it in a donation box every paycheck, and 25% into your own personal savings, and live on 25%. So you can retire, this kind of flourish, and you can retire early. Just imagine. That's actually the standard. Prabhupada said 50% for preaching, 25% for savings, and 25% for your expenses. So that means whatever your monthly requirement is, you must make 4 times that amount. That's the standard. Yeah, so that's the ideal standard of how you manage your money. It means you have to become rich. Householders have to become rich. Follow that instruction. That's all right. All the householders become rich. That's very good. So we encourage the householders to become rich. So they can do that service. They can live comfortably on 25% of their income. That'd be great. Our movement will grow like anything. The Christians have a very strong principle, at least in America. 10% of their money must go to the church. Does it matter? Well, I have the 6. No. Like it or not, automatic, 10% of your money goes to the church. And they're very strong all over the world because of that. Just imagine if our household is all giving 50%, we can mow over all these Christians. So anyway, any other question? Yes.
Being Krishna parent for all devotees, is it all right to follow schedule, a devotee schedule than Krishna schedule?
Just come close now. Yeah, come up your ass.
For being a Krishna parent for home devotees, is it all right if the devotee follow his schedule, not Krishna's schedule, a time of offering, just to make sure as long as all the food being eaten is Krishna food? Because in temple we have Balya Boga, Raja Boga, Sandhya Boga. A devotee maybe cannot follow.
Yeah, in the home, can you have your own schedule that matches your convenience? That's what you're asking.
Yeah. Follow his own timing.
Actually, the ideal standard. Do you have deities at home, or are you just offering a photograph?
Just pictures.
Oh, it's a photograph. Yeah. If you don't have, if you have deities in your home, you have to. You're supposed to have the same schedule as the temple. That's what Prabhupada says in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So if you actually bring in deities to your home, you have to have a similar schedule as the temple. Mangalarti at 4:30, the whole program. So if you can't do that, it's better just to have a photograph of the Panchatattva. And then you can adjust it according to your own needs. Because Panchatattva don't take any offense. You have Panchatattva. Well, the more you can make it for Krishna's schedule, that would help you. But you have children. Are you alone? Are you married? Have a wife and children? Just alone? Just you alone, living alone? Well, you should, huh? Yeah, just you by yourself, no roommates. You're doing all alone.
Family, parents.
Your parents. Are your parents also his family members? You're there with your parents. Are they ISKCON devotees also? Oh man. Yeah, the more you can make it a standard regulated thing for Krishna, less for you, the better. But if you have simply Panchatattva, there and then.
So, what
There's a lot of...
What you're trying to say is it's best to follow Krishna schedule, for example. Possible.
The more you can follow the standard schedule, it's, the better it is for your Krishna consciousness. It's a fact. It will help you feel I'm doing this for Krishna and not for myself. Any other questions? Come up here. Stay right. From now on, everybody comes up here. Right into this year.
You being a Grihastha devotee and also an active preacher, and we see that from your preaching that you have made so much achievements in your own spiritual progress and helping so many others. So, as a Grihastha, I would like to hear from you that how we can also, because we see there are so many entanglements in Grihastha ashram and so many responsibilities. So, can you share some experiences and give some hints as to how we can, even though we have our jobs and other things, how we can make rapid advancement in our, in deep, even after being situated in Grihastha ashram?
Yes, he's asking how can you be a dynamic spiritual revolutionary. In essence, how you can be a dynamic spiritual revolutionary. Caught up in a job and household. You have to be like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You have to desire more than anything to create a spiritual revolution. You want to desire more than anything else. That your life will have a revolutionary impact on this world. You have to desire that. You have to desire that very strongly. And if you have that desire, Krishna will give you the intelligence how to do it. How many children do you have?
I have one son.
One son. What is his age?
He's
2 years old. 2? You have to train him to be a powerful preacher. You can't let him. Your first duty is to make him a more powerful chief preacher. Make him a pure devotee who is trained to be a pure devotee who has no desire except to become pure and revolutionize the planet with that kind of mood. So train him to be a very pure devotee who wants to absorb his whole mind in studying Krishna consciousness all over the world. You have to be in that mood and train him to be in that mood. That relationship. You have to share, you and your son have to share a common desire. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. You have to share a common desire to create a spiritual revolution. You want to do everything within your power to your last dying breath to push forward this movement. And you want to train him to share the same thing. Whatever you're doing, devotional service, you engage in, you do it together. A small boy, he will like to. If you do things together, he will like it. Don't you just sit and tell him, do this, do that. No. You do it, engage him in doing the same thing that you're doing. You're cutting vegetables, give him a plastic knife, and let him, let him think he's also cutting vegetables. But I've seen one of my disciples, he does like that. It's amazing how his son is becoming so Krishna conscious. I'm just passing on. I've seen my disciple do. Whatever you're doing, engage your son. You can take your own, you can hold your son in your arms, put the ghee lamp in his hand, and hold him. Let him, you can hold it because his hand isn't strong enough. And you can pass the ghee to everyone. Two of you together. And he's doing it and you're helping him. As he grows up, then he'll be very attached to doing that service. Wanting to come to the temple and pass the temple. So this way, you should be very keen to be absorbed in bhakti. You should learn mantras and you should teach them the same mantras. So you can chant them. You can chant nice prayers. Vancha kapatarabhyascha karipasimadhyavitsana. And you have to, every penny of that money you earn, you must spend it in a Krishna conscious way. And that will turn your work into devotional service. You misspend the money for sense gratification, and that pollutes the activity of earning the money. You have to spend the money in a way which is purely Krishna conscious. And then the work itself will be purified. So these are some of the things. So, I think we've gone way over time. Vishadam is getting cold. This is my final talk here on my whirlwind tour. I raised my Sameshwara Prabhu. My whirlwind tour of Malaysia. This is my final lecture. So I have to thank you all very much, you and all the other Malaysian devotees. It's been very wonderful to be here with. Vishnupriya Maharaji and I both very much appreciate the kindness and the love you have given us. And whatever offenses we have committed, you kindly forgive us and allow us to come back again in the future. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Iskand Malaysia Vaishnavas ki jai.